Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we are in 2 Samuel chapter 10, and we will listen to the reading from Faith Comes by Hearing of the 19 verses of 2 Samuel chapter 10.
2 Samuel 10. After this, the king of the Ammonites died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. And David said,
I will deal loyally with Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father dealt loyally with me.
So David sent by his servants to console him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the Ammonites. But the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun their lord,
Do you think because David has sent comforters to you that he is honoring your father? Has not David sent his servants to you to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it?
So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half the beard of each and cut off their garments in the middle at their hips and sent them away. When it was told David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said,
Remain at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return.
When the Ammonites saw that they had become a stench to David, the Ammonites sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Maacah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the Ammonites came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob, and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the open country. When Joab saw that the battle was set against him, both in front and in the rear, he chose some of the best men of Israel and arrayed them against the Syrians. The rest of his men he put in the charge of Abishai, his brother, and he arrayed them against the Ammonites. And he said,
If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him.
So Joab and the people who were with him drew near to battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the Ammonites saw that the Syrians fled, they likewise fled before Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the Ammonites and came to Jerusalem. But when the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadad-Ezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the Euphrates. They came to Helam with Shobak, the commander of the army of Hadad-Ezer, at their head. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came to Helam. The Syrians arrayed themselves against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed of the Syrians the men of 700 chariots and 40,000 horsemen, and wounded Shobak, the commander of their army, so that he died there. And when all the kings who were servants of Hadad-Ezer saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and became subject to them. So the Syrians were afraid to save the Ammonites any more.
In my journal back in 1983, I had one of those great one-liners for this chapter. Misunderstanding leads to war. In 2007, I wrote a little bit more about this. David's kindness leads to war. People are suspicious of goodness. They wonder why someone does something good to them. Maybe because it's so uncommon, it causes suspicion. Instead of receiving David's kindness, the Ammonites prepared for war and get defeated. David's motivation, his intention, was honorable. He truly wanted to, as verse 2 said, deal loyally with Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father had dealt loyally with me. But his words were misconstrued, not taken the right way by those who received them. Now, if you have been married for any length of time, this has probably happened to you. You say something with proper motives, well-intentioned, but your spouse doesn't take it the way you meant it. Here in chapter 10, it leads to war. And sometimes that may happen in your relationships as well. You remember what happened next in this chapter. They humiliated the messengers. They shaved off their beards. They cut off their garments. So let's not do that in our marriages and our relationships with others when we don't quite understand maybe the message that they're trying to deliver. Rather than go off on the messenger, how about just asking a simple question? What did you mean by that? Give your spouse a chance to restate or retract or rephrase the communication before assuming the worst. Why fight over misunderstandings that can be avoided? My wife Terry and I have been married over 40 years, so we've had our share of misunderstandings over poor communications. She has said many times, "Honey, it's not what you say, it's how you say it." And she's probably right. I could be more careful of how I say things so she could clearly understand what I mean rather than misinterpret and end up in a fight or a war, as what happened here in chapter 10. So I have a funny example of how we communicate or how we say things. The late Zig Ziglar, the old motivational speaker, said it this way. He used this example once. He said, you could say, "Honey, when I look at you, time stands still." He said that's better than saying, "Dear, your face can stop a clock." That message might be the same, but it certainly matters how we deliver that kind of a statement, doesn't it? So I hope out of this chapter 10 of 2 Samuel that we could learn to be careful, not only how we say things, but also how we hear things. And before going to war, at least give your spouse the benefit of the doubt and ask them, what did they really mean by what they said? Let's avoid unnecessary fights, unnecessary disagreements, by just clarifying our communication, not only what we say, but what we hear. Lord, sometimes our poor communication, though well-intended, is misunderstood and misconstrued. So help us, Lord, to communicate better to those that we love, our spouses and those we are in relationship with around us. Help us, Lord, to be more careful, not only with what we say, but what we hear, and give the people around us the benefit of the doubt before creating difficulties, before creating wars that we may regret. And Lord, help us forgive one another when we miscommunicate. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.